Hi, I'm Neil Smith. I'm glad that you've been able to join us today as I speak to you about the world of the generous gets larger and larger. I hope you enjoy.
I want to tell you a great real life story. So many of you know that Leonie and I have had our house, because I preach about it every time, on the market now for 10 months. And it's easy to believe God when everything is going according to your plan. Every other house we've ever had has sold within a month of us putting it on the market. But when it's not selling, you're like, what is wrong? We hear all the reports about all the houses selling. And well, anyway, it came to our building offering a few weeks ago, and we felt that we should, prompted that we should actually give a seed investment of what we were believing to give once we sold the house. And the Holy Spirit really prompted us, give now, you know, as a statement of faith. And that's easy to say, but who knows that we actually didn't have that much money to give now. And so we felt that we should do it. So on the Sunday, we wrote it out, and I said to the team, and there was just something lost in translation, can you make sure it comes out today? Because I had a sense that something was going to be automated. Well, anyway, that didn't happen. There was a bit of confusion. And so it didn't happen. On Tuesday, I came to the office and I said, guys, could we actually, I noticed it hasn't gone out of my account. What's going on? And they said, oh, okay. And they took it out that day. That afternoon, somebody went through our house. And today, I'm happy to be able to announce our house is sold. But not only that, we move into our new apartment in the city on the 5th of August. How quick is that? So isn't God good? He's faithful. Sometimes his timing is a little bit longer than our timing. As I always say, that's because God is old, and old people are slow, but we like him to move fast, and he moves in his time. So stick with what God's got for you. Today, I want to talk to you from the thought, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. In Proverbs 11, verse 24, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. That's what it says in the Message Bible. But you know, generosity actually isn't so much an action as it is a spirit. We need to understand that generosity is something that stems from the inside of who we are. At Planet Shakers, one of our DNA values is generosity. Another thing about Planet Shakers, if you're a part of it, how good was it to watch on the screens a few weeks ago what's happening in our church throughout Melbourne and throughout South Africa and soon to be Austin? But then also to discover how big our world is growing as far as our influence on the earth when we watch the second week. I watched those videos and I was like, wow, this is my church. This is our church. Look at what God is doing. But it's not intended that we would be in a church that's getting larger and larger and you're not. The purpose of what God is wanting to do is to grow each individual, because Planet Shakers is you. So we need to dare to believe that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And that's what God's got purpose for you. I had the privilege of going to a conference about 10 years ago. And I rang the pastor who was running the conference. I said, where's the best place to stay? And he said to me, well, the best place to stay, the best place to stay is my house. And I said, no, I mean, where's the best place to stay for the conference? A hotel somewhere? And he goes, no, I want you to stay with me. I said, it's a big conference. You've got a lot going on. You don't want somebody to stay. No, I want you to stay with me. And so anyway, I went to the conference and he looked after me. He had me on the front row, took me out to dinner every night, and we drove around together and had a fantastic time. But I felt that rather than just having the mentality of save some money, that I should buy him and his wife some gifts to show my appreciation. So I went to Myers and I walked around and I thought, what am I going to buy? And so for him, you know, guys, I know him and he's a clothes sort of guy and he likes watches and he loves cufflinks. So I went in and I bought these really nice cufflinks and I got him in a box and you know, was ready to take him to. And then for his wife, it's not always easy for guys to buy for girls and vice versa. My wife always says it's really hard to buy you presents because you just buy it for yourself. And so I say, that's fine, just give me lots of money, it's okay. And but the truth is, I'm out there and I'm thinking, what do I buy her? So I reduce it to what all men do when they get desperate. And I thought, I'll just buy perfume. Now, who knows that when you're buying a girl perfume that you don't know what her perfume is, that's a dangerous assignment right there. You know, what you think's a good smell, she might think is an atrocious smell. And so I'm thinking, what do I do? So I go to the department, I'm talking to the girls, and every girl there is working for some different brand, so they're wanting to sell me their perfume. And so I think to myself, the way around this is I'm going to buy the most expensive perfume and the newest one that's on the market. So I buy it. I thought it smelled good, and I take it. I get it wrapped up. For those that know me, they know that I love wrapping paper. I love wrapping paper. Is that weird? Yes, it is, isn't it? Get over it. I love wrapping paper. Anyway, you know, I love the stuff now. You've got like wallpaper type wrapping paper. Oh, I love that. Anyway, moving on. So I'm going to Beautiful Woman Conference as well. But anyway, I get it all wrapped beautifully. I take it home to them. Well, we just lost something. And just so you know, we are experimenting a bit with the lights, okay? Or even experimenting with me. I could disappear at any moment. I've got these presents, and I'm Friday night. I hand it to my friend, and he goes, "Oh, that's fantastic." He rips it open like men open presents. Just rip it open. Why bother unwrapping it? Rip it. So he takes it, and he sees its cufflinks. He literally starts taking his shirt off in front of me. And he walks out to his bedroom. He comes out with a different shirt so he can put the cufflinks on. That night at the meeting, he's on stage a few times, and every time he gets on stage, he looks at me. Yeah, you know. I bought those, yeah. And but his wife, a little bit different. I give her the gift. She doesn't actually acknowledge it. She was probably getting ready for the meeting, but she doesn't acknowledge it. And she just puts it on the counter like that, and we both walk away. Now, of course, I was wanting to be generous and do it just because, but could at least acknowledge it. I didn't say that, but, you know, just internally, little bit of attitude might have built, just a little bit. And I walked away from an experience where it started out doing it with no agenda. But somehow agenda got in and sport the moment. First thing we need to understand, if our worlds are going to grow larger and larger, is agenda needs to go. You see, so often in the trading platform of the world that we live in an environment where we're consumed with, if I do something for you, then surely you've got to do something for me. But actually, if we're going to be planet shakers, we've got to break the pattern of the world, and we've got to live according to kingdom pattern, where we would actually give just because. You see, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, it speaks of the Good Samaritan. And in the book of Luke here, it says that, the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 and verse 35, "Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses he may have." It was good enough that he picked him up on his donkey. It was good enough that he cleaned him up. He drops him at the inn, but then he says, whatever he spends while he's here, I'll pay for that as well. That's like an open ticket at the Park Hyatt, saying, hey, you can go there, stay there, spend whatever you want. Mini bar, go for it. Even though those nuts cost $10 a packet, have as many as you like. Go up to the day spa, spend big time. He didn't put a restriction on it. And he said, when I come back tomorrow, I'll pay for it. You see, generosity is giving without getting any guarantee of reward for yourself. And we need to be people that recognize generosity isn't some scheme to actually increase our capacity to receive. It's just to give because it's a great expression of who our God is. So agenda needs to go. It was a few years ago, I was at Planet Shakers Conference, and obviously we have different guests come in, and I often will drive in my car. On this particular occasion, the team wanted to use my car for somebody, a sedan, so they gave me a station wagon. And we'd got an agreement with Audi, so we got four or five of these cars, and I got an Audi station wagon. It was quite nice, and I was thinking, I'm going to go for a drive. This is going to be good. First day or so, I didn't actually have anything to do other than picking my parents up from the airport. So I picked them up, and I took them to their hotel. And I took them up to, I think it was about the 11th floor they stayed on, got them settled. Then I went and got in the lift. As I got in, the doors were shutting, and suddenly a hand came in and opened the doors, and two parents with their child, a disabled child in a wheelchair, about 4 years of age. They got in the lift, and at that point I was just thinking about going for my drive. As they got in, it's like the doors shut, and it was like a trigger for the little boy to start screaming. And I was thinking, okay, only 11 floors, it can go pretty quick. But then he got so irate that he actually ran his hand down the lift. Every single floor, we stopped that. And he did not stop. And you know, there was a measure of the grace of God, but it left by about the second floor going down. And anyway, we got to the bottom. I got out and I got in my car, and it was like, thank God, I got in the car. I'm just about to drive off, I get a knock on the window. I open my window, and who's there but the father of this child? And he says, oh, excuse me, would you be able to tell me what's the most direct route to walk to the city from here? And I was explaining to him. As I'm explaining, I hear this voice say, why don't you take him to the city? I said, get behind me, Satan. And anyway, he keeps talking. I'm about to wind my window up. And as I'm about to wind it up, I feel, and words just come out of my mouth. Well, I could take you. Now, this guy's from far north Queensland. No disrespect to anybody from far north Queensland. Number one, I didn't understand half of what he said, but they got in the car, and not only did they get in the car, the three of them, and me then trying to get this wheelchair that didn't collapse in the back of the car, trying to jam it in. Then he said, oh, do you mind if a few more people come? It was like the lost tribe of Israel jumped in the car, all these people, and I'm like, and I'm in the front, and then as soon as I start the car, I drive them, drop them to town, and have a great day. Thank God you're out the car. No, good to see you later. And they're gone. Wasn't until a week and a half later, I'm standing at staff prayer meeting. And each staff prayer meeting, we give testimonies about what God is doing in the life of the church. And of course, it was all about conference. And one of the staff says, oh, I was talking to some families. One family said their highlight of conference is when they arrived, they were going for a walk to the city and they didn't know how to get there. So they're getting directions. And one of the pastors, one of the key pastors at Planet Shakers, said to us, why don't you come in my car and I'll take you to the city. And then that night, he's standing on stage, and I'm thinking, and they're thinking to themselves, wow, how good is it that they can be on stage like that, but they can just help the people like this. And I'm like, yes, of course I came through. I didn't tell anybody. In fact, this is the first time that I'm actually letting people know that that was me, because there's a lot of time gone by since. But isn't it interesting in life, when we actually have a change of agenda, we create a little window, and that can sometimes be the most impactful moments of our lives. But yet we're so consumed with our agenda and what we want and how we're going to get it and who's going to give it back and when's it going to come, that we actually lose sight of the fact that God is wanting to be in control so that he can do what he's purposed to do in our lives. Because in that moment when that testimony is being shared, it should have been a moment of joy, but there was a little bit of, I had the wrong attitude. Generosity, a larger and larger life in Jesus' name. Well, I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far. But now I'm going to talk to you about mindset. If we're truly going to be generous people on every occasion, we've got to make sure that we're open to having our mindset changed. But the second thing, if we're going to have a larger and larger life, is our program needs to go. See, agenda is what we can't see, but our program is what's set for many of us. And many of us have such a busy life and so many things that this is in the diary and I've got to catch up with these people that we miss those moments that are purposed for us. Priorities need to change. In Philemon verse 8 to 15, there's no chapters, says this, verse 8, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. This is Paul speaking. And that next verse says, and then as Paul, I should have just waited, an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless. You imagine being acknowledged in the Bible as useless. You know, Neil Smith, hero of the Bible, useless. You know, that's what Onesimus is noted for in the Bible. And but then it goes on to say, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Have a look at this. Paul, the hero of the faith, writing to the churches, the leader of the churches, he takes somebody who the church actually hasn't been able to get the most out of and really is no good to anybody. He raises them up. He puts into their life. This would have taken time, energy, and resource. And at the critical moment, rather, he's saying, I could have kept him. I need him, actually. I've got a lot going on. But I feel that he came to me so that I could send him back to you. He changed his program for the greater good, for the kingdom purpose. And here's the question, church. How tight is our personal program? How many times do we have so much worked out that when the critical moment comes to just be generous, just do it because we can't, because we're so locked in? Church, I want to encourage you. Your program needs to change. Your agenda needs to change. If you're going to have a larger and larger life, you're going to break out of the pattern that's just doing the same old, then you're actually going to have to position yourself to let go in these areas. It's God's plan, not my plan. So many of us caught in our routine. You know, we like control. We like to have it all worked out. But yet God's plan, not my plan. The third thing is, what about our mindsets? Our mindsets need to change if we're actually going to have an active change in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1, it says, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you will find it again. As you do not know the path or the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, in verse 5, so you cannot understand the work of God and the maker of all things. God's way, not our way. He operates like the wind. You don't know where he's going, what he's going to do. But church, if we're so pre-programmed, if we've so got it all locked up, if we've got an agenda in place, if our mindset is locked, we're never going to position ourselves to go where God wants us to go. Holy Spirit is actively, daily looking for people that he can use to be his instruments. But if we're locked up, how are we going to step into what God has for us? Now, I like to play golf. I don't know why I like to play golf, because it's expensive and it's an annoying game. For most of us that play with infrequency, you'll know what it's like to hit the ball. I call it not golf, but hit and hunt. So your intention is to hit it right down the middle, but actually it goes in the lake over here, or it goes in the trees over there. So it, you know, you go hunting, you're in the bushes and there's signs everywhere, be careful of snakes, you got your club out and you've paid for this privilege. What is wrong with us? And anyway, I'm in there and I'm looking and I can't find the ball. Not only that, those little white balls, how much do they cost? Anyway, hit and hunt. On this particular occasion, I decide I'm going to take three of my friends, four of us are going to go, and I'm going to pay for them. I've ordered carts, gone to a really nice golf course. I've gone in and I've actually bought a few boxes of balls. As I said, they're expensive. I don't know why. Such a small little white ball, why does it cost so much? I think it's because the professional golfers are getting paid $25 million a game and it all comes out of the proceeds of those balls we buy. Anyway, I'm just venting a few things this morning. But anyway, the truth is that I bought the balls, I get it all on the counter, it's a big pile and I'm excited to pay. I reach in my back pocket, no wallet. Oh, now by the way, I'm not one of those people. Some people, I haven't got my wallet. I've been out to dinner with you 7 times. You never got your wallet. Do you own one? Open it. The moths just fly away. Anyway, I was there and I'm like, oh, I think it's in my car. So I run down to my car. We've got a tee off time. It's not there. come back and I say, oh, sorry, and I start putting the balls away and, you know, we'll walk, whatever, you know. And the guys are like, no, no, we'll pay, don't worry about it. It's fine. And I instantly can't help myself, but oh, well, I'll pay next time. Because there's just something in us that's all about, well, we've got to owe you because you paid for me. Oh, but we've got such a great example in Jesus that paid a price. We don't owe him. We have a God who loves us so much that had such a generous spirit that has increased our life because he was prepared to give his one and only son. We need to understand if we're going to replicate God, it's not about what we get in return, but it's actually about positioning ourselves to be generous so our world can get larger and larger. Each one of us needs to position ourselves that way. Trust God to honor consistent generosity. Let's do it just because, not because somebody's going to acknowledge what we've done. Let the benchmark of your life be generosity. But for some of you, for that to be, mindset's going to have to shift. Program's going to have to change. Agenda's going to need to go so that you can step into a larger and larger life. See, we can talk about these things. On the back wall here, it's got overflow. Church, we're not supposed to hear about overflow. We're supposed to live in it. And one of the ways we can live in it is to be people that are generous, because generosity actually creates a larger and larger life, the word says. But we can actually hear about it and hear about it and hear about it. We can even speak about it and speak about it and speak about it. But are we actually living in overflow? Because I want to tell you, there's a formula to live in overflow. There's an understanding that we can gain, and that's to position ourselves daily, because we don't actually have to think about how's it going to happen. We just trust God that he's going to be consistent in coming through on every occasion. What are you going to do? Today is a day where you can be generous. This afternoon in the cafe, today at the hub, when you're out with friends, you know, your cars, you see somebody's catching the tram, you could drive them somewhere. It's not just about money, it's about a spirit that says, I want to do more than is expected without a guarantee of reward. I love to go and to petrol stations. And I don't love to go to petrol stations, so I need to, let me clarify. That sounds quite weird, really. Just hide in petrol station, don't I? That's weird. I like to go to petrol stations and I fill up my car with fuel. Then I go into the shop. If you notice now, they're not really petrol stations. They're really shops. And man, it's a science I know, and they pay people and I know that they're manipulating me, but they get me every time. Twisties right on the end there, for two for $4. I don't even need one. Now I've bought four because I thought, what a bargain. Hide them in the glove box so nobody can see them. Not really. And anyway, I wait in the shop, and as I'm waiting, I look out in the car parking lot and I watch people filling up the car. I don't look for the oldest bomb of a car, you know, because they're the most needy. But I look out in the car parking lot and I think to myself, I want to bless somebody today. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I look at the most expensive car. Sometimes I just look and I... And then as soon as they're about to hang up the bowser, I quickly go up and I pay for mine. I tell the guy I'm paying for theirs as well. And they'll often say, is it family or a friend? No, no, I just want to do it. And I don't say to them, because the Lord inspired me to, brother. I mean, the guy behind the counter is going to be, what? You know? I don't even say that. I just do it because. Then I come out, and usually you pass them as they're coming in. You pass them as you're going out. I don't go, oh, the Lord has blessed you today, brother. Oh. I just walk past, get in my car and drive off. And I start to imagine what's happening with them. They're fighting with you. No, I've got to pay. No, somebody else paid for you. Who? I don't know. It just was somebody. I just think about that and I think it's funny. Or they go home. Oh, you know, somebody paid for our fuel today. It's incredible, you know. But just because. It's not actually about them. It's about me. So often we make giving and finance and how we display our lives about other people and how it makes us feel, rather than actually just positioning ourselves to live larger and larger. I sat in a conference 6 months after
that one I went to, and I stayed in their home. Guess who I sit next to? The pastor and his wife. The pastor sits next to me, and I've got a great sense of openness and freedom towards him. I'm like, you know, he's like, oh, how good is this? And he starts worshiping. I've got to be honest, one step over is the wife, and I'm still a little like, you didn't even look at my gift. Truth is, the guy's probably totally forgotten I even bought him cufflinks, but that's not the point. He acknowledged me. How many of us live in that space? Agenda, program, mindset. In the worship, she taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around and I look at her and I smile like a good Christian smile. I got nothing against you. I love you with the love of the Lord, sister. She leans over and she says, hey, can you smell my perfume? I'm like, I don't want to smell your perfume. I smell it. I couldn't actually smell it. It's at a conference. It smelled like BO all around me. But anyway, I smell it. Oh, she goes, it's that perfume you bought me. She said, it's now my favorite perfume. I buy it every time. Should have been a moment of, oh God, I did it just because. Because I let agenda get in the way, it suddenly became a little bit of a rip-off. Like, ah, oh. Just like that family that I took to the city. Oh, because agenda, program, and mindset block us in the natural from what God is wanting to release in the supernatural. The generous will have a larger and larger life. Thank you so much for listening today. I know that from this day on, you're going to go and live a larger and larger life. Be generous.